Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team.
Rams Nation! What's happening? What's good? It's your boy Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. It's the Thursday edition of Locked On Rams, and it's brought to you by Tom's Urban LA Live. Guys, check it out this week. We're hosting a watch party down there. Starts at 10 a.m. We got an early game. We're playing in the Midwest. Come and join me. We got a $15 beer and wings special. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be recording live. You got to check it out. More information coming on later in the show, but I better see you there. But for today, we got Vinny Bonsignor with us. Super excited. No more bye week. We got our guests back. We're back to our regular flow. I have a voice. I feel good. I can do that. With my voice? Yeah. I'm excited, per usual. Guys, don't forget to go subscribe and follow the podcast. iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. Go hit the subscribe button. Leave a comment. Leave a review. 5-star, I hope. But I'll take anything, any feedback. Let me know. It helps us move up in the rankings, so I do appreciate that. To all the new listeners, welcome. This is Locked On Rams, 5 days a week of Rams news, information, and updates with your boy Bear Motter, your team, every day, only on the Locked On Podcast Network. Also, give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook group. I posted that event up there. I want to start to see some confirmed people coming down. If you live in LA, no excuse. Don't watch the game at home. We've got this awesome place to do it. I'll be there. We'll be getting loud and proud. Hopefully I don't lose my voice like my last watch party session down in Mexico City. Shout out to all those peeps that were with me down there in Mexico City. Again, you can find us at Rams Podcast or my personal LA_RamblingBear. Hit me up. Shoot me a DM if you have any questions. Also, if you're looking to advertise on the podcast, I actually run the whole LA area. So if you're interested, shoot me an email at lockedonrams@gmail.com. We've got some space for some of you guys that have companies that want to get your company onto the platform. So hit me up. But as for today, Vinny Bonsignor, I'll just get to it. I had a great conversation with him earlier, kind of picked his brain on coming out of the bye and what we can expect going to Detroit and to lead back. How much can we expect him to play? So here's my conversation I had earlier today with Vinny Bonsignor of The Athletic. Guys, go give him a follow at Vinny Bonsignor on Twitter. But you know what it is. Until next time, Rams Nation, peace. Here's my conversation with Vinny. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. It is the Thursday edition. You know what that means. No more bye week. We've got Vinny Bonsignor back with us. Make sure to go give him a follow on Twitter, at Vinny Bonsignor. He puts up a lot of great content inside of the Rams and puts up a lot of great articles for The Athletic LA. Go check out and get a subscription there if you haven't already. Vinny, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. The batteries are recharged. Hit the reset button like the Rams, and getting ready for the last 5 weeks of the season. And we all know that there's probably going to be an after season. And the way the Rams are playing, it looks like it might be a long one.
Yeah, it's really exciting to kind of get ready and geared up for that. And as you look at the schedule, I mean, there's a few games that are kind of exciting. Obviously, we've got the Bears coming up, which looks to be a good matchup. This one going across to Detroit, not so much exciting, but at the same time, it is because we can clinch the division, which is always a good feeling. But I wanted to kind of go back, because last time we talked to you, you were in Colorado Springs. We just found out that no one was going to Mexico City. Well, not nobody, because I went to Mexico City, but...
Exactly.
But actually, to give you a heads up, we actually met a bunch of awesome Rams fans down there. We took over the Buffalo Wild Wings, and the cool thing is they did some live shots on Monday Night Football to the bar we were at Buffalo Wild Wings, and Rams Nation was loud and proud, and we held down there. So we had a good time. A lot of Rams fans still made the trip, but you got to go to the game at the Coliseum. I haven't talked to you since, but so, you know, let's recap really quick and talk to me about that experience, what that felt like, what that emotions were like before and after.
Oh boy, what a it was a remarkable game on so many different levels. There was so much talent on that field and so much creativity, and the atmosphere was, you know, just off the charts. It was lit, as they say. mean, like a Christmas tree. I was down on the field for like the last 5 minutes or so, which was an eventful last 5 minutes, yeah, to say the least. But you know, I was looking around, and you know, without aging myself or anything, I've been to some big games at the Coliseum, some really big games. Even when the Raiders were you know, occupying the Coliseum and they punched their ticket to a Super Bowl, there's some big games at the Coliseum, and I cannot remember an atmosphere as electric as that. And I, like I said, I've seen USC Notre Dame, USC Oregon, you know, USC UCLA, when USC was rolling big time, and it still had a different elevated feel to it. And I think that just the performance, the amount of talent, the electricity, it was a special night in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it was fun to watch, you know, on TV, and then hear, you know, people talking about that were at the game, talking about it being basically the best regular season football game they've ever seen. There's a bunch of Super Bowls that are kind of up there, and you mentioned some of those big football games. I know this wasn't at the Coliseum, but that Texas-USC game, I saw some people compare it to that as far as just, you know, that last 5 minutes that you talked about going down to the field. What great timing to go down there, because it was just – end up being a crazy shootout. 35 points in the fourth quarter. The emotions were high. I can only imagine it was the same in the locker room with all the guys after the game and everything like that. So hopefully we can keep that energy when it comes playoff time, because the one thing about LA, I've only been out here for about 3 or 4 years now, but there's so much going on and they love winners. And, you know, if it's a Rams Arizona game, it's not going to be lit, as you say, but when it gets to a good primetime game and it means something, they're going to come out and support. And it was good to see that. So hopefully we see that move forward in the playoffs. And like you said, have that deep run. So I want to talk to you about a couple other things here. And I saw Sean McVay talked a little bit today, and man, this team has gone through so much, obviously in the last month, and you know, with things that are outside the building and things that are inside the building and affects everybody. And then now all of a sudden we've got this other weather storm coming in with a bunch of rain. It sounds like they're going to move practice around. Talk to me about what Sean McVay is going to do with that, you know, big storm coming up.
Yeah, it looks like there's going to be about a 45-minute, or I don't know how long it's going to be, but it'll be brisk on Thursday afternoon. In lieu of a regular practice, it'll be a walkthrough. We get closed off to the walkthroughs. We're not allowed to watch any of it. So we won't be able to see it, but it's going to be a quick workout, and pretty much a sit. Then they'll go back on their, weather permitting, of course, they'll go back on their regular schedule on Friday before, you know, getting on a plane and heading to Michigan. So, you know, on one hand, it's a bit of a disruption, but on the other hand, the Rams are used to, you know, kind of being flexible with their schedule. Hasn't hurt them yet this year. And, you know, without trying to disparage the Lions at all, you know, I think the opponent, you know, if there was a week where something like this was going to have to happen, this is the right week for it to happen. And you know, they're kind of used to just resting guys and you know, managing their schedule. Although Thursday is their heavy day, they do a lot on Thursdays. But you know, if there's one guy that's going to be able to mitigate any kind of disruption, it'll be Sean McVay. And I think this team, being as conscientious and as professional as it is, will handle it well too.
Yeah, and I don't want to look too far ahead, but I always look at, you know, when you start to get ready for that Super Bowl push, and let's say you win the NFC Championship game, there's that 2 weeks of downtime in between the Super Bowl. And there's a lot of media and a lot of stuff pulling you around, and I feel like it's these types of moments throughout the season that can make them strong for that time to really stay focused, because they've been challenged multiple times throughout the season as far as how well can they stay focused. Sean McVay's done a good job so far. You talked about the Lions kind of being, you know, without kind of bashing the Lions, probably the best case scenario we can have for this schedule. Also goes the same with Aqib Talib being back. We're going to talk a little bit more about that on the other side, but we're going to take a quick break, get some words from some sponsors. We'll be right back. Thursday episode with Vinny Bonsignore. All right, guys, you know what we're going to talk about next. I mentioned it earlier in the show, but I'm super excited about this. You got to come join us this Sunday down at Tom's Urban. It is the place to be pre or post game, and it's right down by LA Live. It's a jump shot from Staples Center and a swing pass from the Coliseum. From 2 to 5, Monday through Friday, anything that pours is half off. Anything that pours is half off. Plus, from 10 to close, Sunday through Thursday, you can get the same deal. Tom's Urban has a huge local beer selection and has a revamped menu. And trust me, I tried like everything on the menu. They brought us in. That food there is so good. I've been back twice since we went the first time. It is my new spot to go when I'm down by LA Live. You can't miss out. Anything from the traditional honey barbecue wings to the adventurous duck wings, whatever your palate, Tom's Urban has got you covered. Make sure to ask Harrison, who's the GM there, about the U-Pour floor experience on the second floor. 50 taps of self-service pint possibilities. Yes, self-service. Literally, you get a card, you swipe, the taps are open. Pour as you may. Try whatever you want. They've got all the selections you could ask for. Go to tomsurban.com/lockedon to see the special deal that we're offering you, the Locked On listeners. If you're in the LA area, I better see you there. That's tomsurban.com/lockedon. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. It's the Thursday episode. We've got Vinny Bonsignor. I'm your host, Bear Motter. We're talking all things Rams. We're talking about the Lions matchup. We said kind of on the other side, kind of a great matchup for multiple reasons. We're getting kind of shifted around with the practices and everything like that. And then also, Aqib Talib is back. And if there's anyone that's setting up for a great matchup, looking across the field and seeing their wide receivers and who's activated and who's not, pretty good matchups for him. Talk to me about him coming back this week. I know McVay is still hasn't really said the full go-ahead yet. I mean, they haven't activated him onto the 53 as far as getting game time ready, but it sounds like all things are pointing to that. But how about him matching up this week and kind of getting, I don't want to say easy game, but kind of a nice game to welcome him back?
Yeah, you know, the Lions' wide receiver core is a little bit decimated. So, you know, if you are looking to ease them in, this would be the way to do it, all things considered. But you know, one way or another, whether it's this week or Chicago or you know, at some point after that, Aqib is going to be back. And, you know, I believe he's going to have a pretty big impact, you know, not just for what he can provide on the field. That's pretty obvious. You know, he's going to be able to, the Rams are finally going to be able to see, you know, that cornerback tandem that they envisioned coming into this season. And I think that that's going to help on the back end. I think it could benefit on the front end. I think, you know, if you have two cornerbacks that are taking away first reads from the quarterback, you know, that gives your defensive line a little bit more time to get after the quarterback. So you hope that for the Rams' purposes, he's going to have that kind of an impact, and I think he will. And it just settles things in their secondary. You know, Nickell Roby Coleman can go back to what his role. Sam Shields can go back to the role that they had for him coming into this season. It just makes things pretty seamless now in the secondary, and they have enough time with a month or so in the regular season to get it all squared away, get everything tightened up so that they're, you know, at optimal performance when they hit the playoffs, provided everybody stays healthy.
So with Talib coming back, and you know, we've seen in the past when McVay kind of gives the green light on somebody, he hasn't really seemed to have a pitch count much with people. I mean, we saw Fowler have 3 or 4 days of practice, and you know, he threw him in there even more than we expected, even on non-passing situations. I remember going back to when Marcus Peters played on that short week, and he played almost every single snap. What do you expect for Talib? Let's say he does play this week. How many plays do you think we'll see him, or do you think there's just kind of let him go?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to find out, you know, today if he's a go for Sunday. But, you know, the ramp of leaning on their training staff and the player himself to get a good idea of what to expect. And as you mentioned, you know, when guys get the green light, they get the green light. There's no holding back, and I think that that's sort of a philosophy that that the Rams have and Sean McVay has. Like, if you're ready to go, you're ready to go. Then there's no restrictions. There's no, like you said, pitch count. It's full go ahead. Otherwise, if we have to make all sorts of adjustments to accommodate because you're not quite ready, then you probably shouldn't be out here. That's how I think you should play it. You know, if you're there, if you're in uniform, you're ready to go. As many plays as we need you to play. Otherwise, then, you know, it's not a really good option. So I think that if he does play, it's full bore ahead, and I would expect him to play the full game.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there as well. And you talked about the training staff there briefly. And what is it about Ted Rath and that group that it makes them so different from the rest of the NFL? I mean, you look at our injury report today. I mean, there's nobody on it. It's a couple people missed practice, but that's really just held out for rest. And I think Westbrook got sick or something like that. But what are we doing differently? Or is it just luck? But this is a couple years in a row now. But what's up with this training staff and those guys? Have you had a chance to talk to any of them and what they're doing?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to give you a blow-by-blow. There's some proprietary type stuff that they do. You know, and not that there's anything devious or anything that's going on, but they have their own way of looking at things and analyzing things and doing things. And I think that they want to keep that, you know, under cover just for competitive, you know, purposes. So they don't really give you a good idea of exactly how the sausage is cooked. But what I do know and what I can say is that they're very proactive. They're very in tune. They're an enlightened group. They're a young group. They're an aggressive group. And they don't leave any stone unturned. So if there's a way, if there's a remedy, if there's a new way to train, if there's a new way to monitor, they're on top of it. And you could talk to the players, the coaches. There's a great appreciation for that training staff and how they manage things. And you can tell that it helps, you know, a lot. Now, the Rams have dealt with way more injuries this year than they did last year. Last year was sort of one of those freak of nature type of a seasons where guys just didn't get hurt. This year, a lot different. But the fact that these guys are able to come back, you know, you mentioned Marcus Peters. He came back way sooner than anyone expected. And Aqib Talib, you know, had surgery 8 weeks ago, and he's back, and he looks pretty good, you know, limited time that we've seen him. And I got to, you know, you got to tip your cap to the medical staff and training staff for getting him to this point, and then even moving forward. So I'm not quite sure what it is that they do, but whatever it is, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, talk about everyone on the Rams getting long-term extensions and big signing bonuses. I think it's Ted Rath and those guys' turn to get a bonus check because they've been doing one heck of a job so far. And, you know, talking about Talib coming back, and another guy that we saw this last week was Farrell Cooper back in action. And, again, one of those guys that came off of the injuries and then all of a sudden he was out playing the first week back. Talk to me about how he's doing recovery-wise, and then, you know, are we expecting to see him have a bigger role, maybe in a wide receiver area, or is he going to strictly be a special teams guy still?
Yeah, I think if there's some opportunities there, you know, you might see him, you know, more or on the field a little bit, but boy, it's tough to crack this lineup right now, as good as it is, and you know, they've dipped into, you know, their fourth wide receiver with Josh Reynolds, and Hodges getting a little bit of time as well here and there. But it's such a good group. You know, it's hard to see him cracking it, you know, barring any sort of an injury. And I think right now his role is to return kickoffs and maybe punts. We'll see how the roster shakes out. You know, somebody has to go when Aqib does get activated to the 53. So we'll keep an eye on who that might be. That might change things a little bit. But, yeah, I'd like to think that Farrell, if given some more snaps offensively, especially I could definitely see him being a jet sweep type of a weapon.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, there's just so much talent on that offense, and the players that are out there are so productive. You know, it's just really hard to crack it. And that's not not indicative of Farrow's talent at all. Just look at a guy like Josh Reynolds, you know, his time was really limited when Cooper Kupp was healthy. But it certainly wasn't for lack of a talent on Josh's part. It's just lack of opportunities.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And then also the tight end play has been outstanding the last few weeks. And I think that goes to it too. You know, if we weren't getting production there, you start to shake things up and maybe get them into the lineup. But you're right. Everyone that's in there I mean, coming off a game where you score 50-something points and, you know, everyone's been producing. But our tight ends have been amazing the past couple weeks. And, you know, Sean McVay, former tight end coach, is finally going back to a little bit of his roots here. And it's been exciting to watch. What we're going to do is we're going to step aside, take another break, get some words from some sponsors. We'll be right back. More on the other side with Vinny Bonsignor. All right, Rams Nation, third and final segment. We are joined, as always, Thursday Locked On Rams with Vinny Bonsignor. Vinny, we're coming out of the bye, and, you know, Sean McVay is a head coach, doesn't have a long list as far as, you know, what his record is. He obviously came out of the bye last week with a win. Looking at him and looking at the style of coach, you think that he's going to kind of be one of those, like, Andy Reid, Bill Belichick, like, where he's really tough out of a bye. He kind of said that he took some time off, but he's always watching football. Talk to me about what you think Coach McVay is going to be, not only just now, but long-term as a coach coming out of a bye, and maybe his style of coaching and how that plays to that.
Yeah, I mean, he's top-notch in so many different areas. You would expect him to be, you know, really good coming out of a bye or figuring it out, or at the very least, he's going to, again, leave no stone unturned in terms of making sure his team is in the best possible position, whether it's, you know, how they prepare, what they do during their bye weeks, and, you know, the instructions that he gives them to keep their body right, all of those type things. I think whatever it is, he's going to figure out a way to be on top of it with the latest kind of information. So I would expect his teams, especially now with so much talent that he has, and it's a professional group. I know I harp on that a lot, but you know, Sean will tell you that he's very, very fortunate because, you know, he'll never toot his own horn at all. I will for him. He's a fantastic coach, and I think he has a chance to go down as one of the great coaches of all time, and I'm not blowing smoke. I really sincerely believe that. I've been around a lot of great coaches, and he's right up there with all the qualities that you look for. But setting that aside, you also have to have great players and professional players and intelligent players and conscientious players, and he knows that he's really fortunate with this group, that he has all of that and then some with this group. So I think the combination of Sean McVay, his coaching staff, and the type of players that he has in that locker room should make for pretty seamless transitions or processes when you're dealing with a bye week. And with so much to play for right now, in terms of, you know, like you said, they could clinch their second straight NFC West Division Championship with a win on Sunday. There's larger goals in mind. They want to chase down the New Orleans Saints to make sure that the Super Bowl run in the NFC goes right through Los Angeles and nowhere else. They want that. And so I don't expect any letdowns. I expect their full attention and their full efforts on Sunday. So I think that, you know, the bye week is of no concern in terms of, are they going to come out flat? Are they going to come out rusty or anything like that? I think they come out just full throttle.
Well, you kind of answered my question and my next question, but I'll still go forward with it. You know, we talk about trap games all the time, and we just talked about coming out of the bye and all those great things that, you know, Coach McVay, the team, the organization, that we see in them. But going on the road, a beat-up Lions team, you got a, you know, potential big game the very next week. I know they're very good at staying focused, but any chance that the Lions pull a upset here? And if so, how would it be?
Any chance? Yes, there's always a chance. Could they come out flat? Yeah, they could come out flat. I do think that the bye week actually helped them in relative to, you know, had they had to come back 6 days later after that emotionally draining roller coaster ride of a game against the Kansas City Chiefs, maybe you would be looking at, you know, a bit of a, you know, an emotional or an emotionally drained team playing the Lions 6 days later. But the fact that they were able to, you know, replenish and reset and all that, I think helps that. How can the Lions win? They're going to have to hope that the Rams turn the ball over about three or four times. They're going to have to hope that the Rams, when they do get into the red zone, don't cash in touchdowns and are settling for field goals or are turning the ball over in the red zone. And they're going to have to play almost perfectly offensively. And especially they're going to have to, you know, develop some sort of a ground game to maybe play a little bit of keep away from the Rams offense. So it's going to have to take a really, really, really bad effort by the Rams, lots of mistakes and that sort of thing. And then the Lions just playing a nearly perfect football game for them to be in this game. And you know, I truly believe that this is not a game that the Rams should really have much trouble with, you know, relative to the score.
Yeah, we're going to really have to shoot ourselves in the foot to make that a really competitive game. But like you said, there's always a chance any given Sunday. This next kind of comment question comes from one of our listeners on Facebook. His name is Rich Jenkins. Thanks for reaching out, Rich. Here's what he had to say, and I want to get your thoughts on this. But he said, random thought, we're a team that makes great halftime adjustments. I feel like on the other side of this bye week is going to be our second half. Mark my words, this run defense and defense overall is going to look a little bit different moving forward. Obviously, we got Tlaib back, but what are your thoughts on, you know, it's a late bye week, but kind of like Tlaib said, this is the final push. Do you expect our defense to take this big breather and just like our halftime adjustments come out and play better?
Yeah, and I do believe they need to. Not necessarily just for this game, but, you know, for the larger goals that they have in mind. You know, I did a little digging in their run defense, and you know, it's on paper, it's not good. You know, they're giving up the second worst yards per carry average, 5.2 yards per carry. You know, I think they're 12th, I think it is, or somewhere around there, the worst 10 in yards given up per game. But on the other hand, and I'm not trying to make any excuses here, but if you take out 463 of the yards that they've given up this year were in two games against the Seahawks, who just hang their hat on running the ball, and they have a quarterback who can run the ball. So if you take out that 463 yards in two games against the Seahawks, I know we can't, but if you just did, play with me here for a second. That average goes down from 5.2 to 4.1 or 4.2, somewhere around there. In other words, really pretty respectable. It would be you know, above middle of the pack if that's what they were giving up yards per carry rather than what they are. So it's a little bit deceptive because so much of it came against one team. Now I did point out in a story that I wrote the problem with that is you're going to maybe have to play this the Seahawks again if things, you know, if the cookie crumbles in that way, they could very well see the Seahawks in the playoffs. And in addition to that, 141 or 43, somewhere around there, were against the Saints. So that was a team that also was able to run the ball. And we all know that they're probably headed for a showdown against them. So long story short, I think some of the run issues are a little bit distorted because of who they played and the intention that those teams, like the Seahawks, have to running the ball. But some of it also is poor tackling, especially early on in games. You know, guys trying to make individual plays rather than just playing, you know, their responsibilities and their gap responsibilities and getting burned as a result. So I do think that they are going to make that a priority to stop the run a little bit better. But I'm not so worried about it, you know, that I think that it's going to be their downfall or demise. I think that they'll manage it enough so that it's not going to be the thing that kills them.
Yeah, you're right, and that is good to kind of look at that and how the stats kind of play. It's always fun kind of playing with stats, and I bet Seattle wishes they can go back and maybe not take out those rush yards, but try to figure out what to do on a fourth down conversion. They might have a couple more wins, but the football games have been played, and now we're going out to Detroit here, and the spread is right now, or last I saw it, was 10 points on my bookie. Give me your thoughts on that spread. Are we going to cover?
I mean, I can't. Yeah, I do think you cover. One thing I know about this team, they love winning. You know, they love performing. And I think that, you know, the bye week was fantastic. And everyone that I talked to thoroughly enjoyed themselves in terms of just being able to unplug. And, you know, I've been around championship teams before. And you need that every once in a while. You have to have that because it's full bore ahead since, what, the last week of January or July for training camp and then right on through the first 11 games of the season. And a high level of play, high-stakes games, some shootouts, some slugfests. You're getting everybody's best shot. This is a Rams team that no longer, just surprises people. People are bracing for them and ready to get after them and take a look, you know, get a little reputation made by beating them. So they're getting everybody's best punch. So
right.
to be able to unplug came at the perfect time, and I think that they are itching to get back there. So I think that that combination of just their real enthusiasm for wanting to win and wanting to put on a good show, and the fact that they haven't been out there for a couple of weeks now, they're gonna throttle it up and I think have a pretty easy time against the Lions.
Yeah, what a crazy schedule to have a bye that late. You're right. I mean, since training camp till, you know, a week ago, they were go. Break came at a great time and with a great record, which is always nice when that happens. And I'm with you. I think this is one of those teams, and we talk about great teams and going far in the playoffs. You got to beat the teams that you're supposed to beat and beat them handily. And this is one where we've had a lot of close games. You go back to the Seattle game, New Orleans games, Kansas City game. Like, it's just been nerve-wracking and close. I think it's time that they finally get a very comfortable win on the road, getting back into that mind mentality of being able to handle business on the road and get back to winning on the road. So I'm with you. I think I'm looking at like a 31-10, 31-17 maybe. A big 15-point gap is where I'm thinking on this one. Matt Stafford trying to force something late and we get some extra points. But Vinny, we appreciate it, guys. Make sure to go give him a follow at Vinny Bonsignore on Twitter. The Athletic LA. Get a subscription if you don't have one already. And Vinny, we look forward to your coverage throughout the week. And we'll talk to you next week, bud.
All right. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later.